So we pray, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your mercy and grace, Lord, bestowed upon us at this time. We pray, Lord, as we enter this service, the ministering part of your word, that you be with us in a most supernatural way. Way, Lord, that must come, must be with us ere we understand, know where we stand, know what we're doing, O God. We know we've come to a place, Lord, where we cannot turn back. We must go forward. Yet we must go forward with your blessing and the expanded power and grace of God in our lives. We know, Lord, that can only come by you, as the prophet said. If you ever send your power back in the church, it'll be by grace, not by obedience. And so, Lord, we're claiming your grace tonight to help us to understand your word, to know where when we stand, Father, that we might do what you'd have us to do, Lord, and live in a way that you'd have us to live, to honor and glorify your great name. So help us in the study tonight, Lord, because we know it's very important to know what you said through your prophet, for us to apprehend it, Lord, to act upon it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now this is the greatest battle ever fought, number 4. And for a preamble, it is not likely that any promise in the Bible is more startling in its implication to the life of a Christian than Mark 11:23-24. Have the faith of God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, I might say instantly here that this scripture that Brother Branham used and quoted from Mark 11:23 was the very scripture that Jesus Christ used relative to him cursing the fig tree. And they were marveling at it, so this is what he said concerning himself. That is, have the faith of God, which of course he did have, which was able to call things which are not as though they were, and so on, raising the dead. He said, verily I send you that whosoever shall say to this mountain or this fig tree, henceforth bring no more fruit, or be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, which he said, of course I did not do, but shall believe the things which have been said, which he did say, they shall come to pass, and he had whatever he said. Now he said, therefore I say to you. So evidently this portion of scripture here is not so much binding upon us as I see it. It is binding upon us to understand this took place. Therefore, this will happen to you and me. Therefore, I say, whatever things you desire when you pray, so that when you come to God, knowing that this is established, then when you pray for those things which are available to you, you know based upon this, which is the whole. The part is included, and therefore you can have it. Now take it for what it's worth. That's how I see this. According to Brother Branham, the attainment to this happy position, which we read here, comes only by a desperate battle. Now he's not going to put us in the ring and him walk out of the ring. His career as a professional boxer, I think, is demonstrated here. And in his life, having won 17 professional fights, I don't think ever knocked out. The vision he had where he could bind Satan and loose him, you remember the serpent that turned into a crystal type of glass, lets us know that he has fought this great battle, and now we in turn are fighting our battle, which will be not exactly replicated upon his, but more or less, it'll be simmered down, watered down, trickled down to us. The desperate battle. This position, this happy position, comes by a desperate battle. That's made right why he preached desperation also. This desperate battle will be the greatest battle in our Christian lives, and it's going to be fought in the mind, or this desperate battle, which is the greatest battle, is fought in our minds. The problem herein is this. Can we literally bend our minds away from natural, normal human reasoning and exercise those same minds by willingly and willfully accepting the judgments of the Word of God, or the truth of the Word of God, and judge according to truth and not according to sense knowledge, reasons, and experiences. Can we say, yes, I believe, and mean it when the Word contradicts the senses? Now, he went through this. Can we deny what we call life itself as we know it, and live it, and record it as history for the sake of the Word? Now, you're getting into a problem there with your churches, what you think you know, which is hogwash. The answer has to be yes, for it is more than unlikely that a vindicated prophet would present a problem without a solution. This message must somehow not only deal with the way the problem is handled, but must also show us how to receive strength in handling it. We must follow the prophet word by word in precept and step by step in example. It is fearful to contemplate in the negative. This scripture is fearful to contemplate in the negative, but world-shaking in the positive. In other words, you turn it down, it's fearful to contemplate what you missed, but what you will gain is world-shaking. It is imperative to recall that this scripture was fulfilled in Brother Branham, and therefore is a specific omega fulfillment of the alpha, which was Christ cursing the fig tree, as I've already mentioned. To gain further knowledge in the subject, let us go over a few informative passages, which we went into previously, and hopefully I can find them right here. Page 15, 3 to 5 again. Now, there's where the battle begins, right in your mind. Now, you remember it's not Christian Science, mind over matter. The mind accepts the life which is the Word of God, and it's the Word that brings life. Now, Brother Branham is quoting his own experience and telling us about it, because the teacher, or the prophet in this case, must be partaker of the first fruit before he can pass it on. He's got to know what he's talking about, because he comes with a vindicated ministry. Just your thought doesn't do it. The Word of God brought in the channel of your thought is what does it. See? It's not the thought as Christian Science makes it, mind over matter. No, that isn't it. But your mind accepts it and grasps it. What is your mind controlled by? Actually, basically from the depth of the soul, though the Spirit has a great deal to do with it. And that catches the Word of God, and that's the thing that's got life in it. It brings life unto you. Oh, brother, when that takes place, when life comes down that Word channel into you, the Word of God is manifested in you, which means this, you have now become a part of the Scripture that admonishes us, if we abide in Him, and our words and His words abide in us, then we ask what it will, and it'll be done. Now, you can see that He's passing on to us the 24th verse of Mark 11, as predicated upon Mark 11 and 23, which He has already come through, and we'll get into some of that tonight, hopefully, because I don't think you're going to sit here and believe for 1 minute that this message will not follow every other message which brings forth the prophet vindicated and the message based on vindication. Then what does that do? From the middle of the heart, which is the soul, there goes forth the living Word feeding every channel. The trouble of it is we're standing in here with a lot of doubt trying to accept what's out there. In other words, what's out there for us if we want to get from the Word. You've got to stop that and come down that channel with the true Word of God, and then it goes out itself automatically. So you're looking here at the prophet giving us a statement that what you and I are laboring for and what we're looking at as the desire, this fantastic verse of Scripture that gives us literally the world in a bucket, is right here how it's done. It's got to be the outworking of the Word of God within the individual. And I want to watch that statement I made, because I think you might be getting it wrong. You'd be looking at something that you have to do. At this point, it is not necessarily something you have to do. It is something that you have to receive. See, for instance, they said, what we would like to do the works of God. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him who He hath sent. Well, you see now, that's the great battle right there. So let's watch this carefully we're getting into, because this sermon is a fantastic sermon, and it is a difficult one. All right. You've got to stop that. It's anything from the outside. You've got to stop all of that. You've got to let loose on what's being put on the inside, which hopefully, and not only hopefully, but must be the Word of God. And that gets down there in the true channel, which is the soul. Then it comes out through all the other channels. Those other channels which can receive wrong input. Now you're not becoming a receptacle, you're becoming a flowing river. You're no longer a sponge, as it were, trying to get something in there, but you've got something in there, like Brother Branham mentioned that little brook, he said, little spring, why is you bubble? Because there's something in there pushing it out. So that's what you're looking at. Okay, with that we go to page 16, fortunately it's on the other side, and paragraph 5, that word, if you can get everything out of the way, all conscience, all senses, just let that word come in, that word will produce just exactly. Now, what does it mean, just exactly? Just exactly what the word says. Which, of course, in his particular case, was very definitely the Omega of Mark 11:23, and we come into Mark 11:24. Now, Brother Branham makes it evident that we cannot do this of ourselves. In other words, there is no simply opening ourselves up, as it were, of ourselves, but he said it takes the Holy Spirit to do it. And in this particular case where he speaks of the Holy Spirit being the one that is going to really be the subject who is working with you and on you and in you, is taken from the fact a woman came with her daughter, the daughter dying of Hodgkin's disease, and he looked down and knew they were unsaved. And he said, well, now look, he said, how can you expect healing on the grounds that you're not born again? Will you come and be baptized in the water of the pool here and claim Jesus Christ as your Savior for remission of sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And they said, we'll do that. And the little girl was positively 100% healed. Now, speaking on the child and the mother then, he says, you had to open the channel first. You've got to get the soldier, the Holy Spirit, placed at the battlefront to take God's word. He is the word, and he stands there, and there's nothing going to stop it then. There's nothing. Every other channel is cleared out. Now, in other words, when you've got the strong one that can bind the lesser one, which in our case is greater is he that's in us than we ourselves, and we are definitely on the carnal because we're born into that element, which we'll read, I hope, sometime in the chapter Romans 8 and bring it up with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You have that one then, which automatically has cleared the way for us to receive the word, even as Brother Branham said, pile word upon word and feed the Christ within us. So if we're truly born again, and there'd be no way we could be born again and not receive this word of God, or at least be seed and not open to it. So now we have the one who is able to help us get what we need in order to come this distance here. Now, paragraph 11, I read on page 18, and then Brother Branham is continuing here, but before I go into that, I want to go into Ephesians, the second chapter, I believe it is, the third chapter, and we're going to see here that this verse we use, I'll bring it into a better understanding of it, and I'm using it with the understanding here that Brother Branham is talking of the of an end-time bride in the sermon of Spoken Word as Original Seed, and he's speaking of the bride having the word and not using it except at the command of the Lord. She knows what to do about it. Now, it says here concerning this Christ within us, because that's what you're looking at. You're born again. The Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that's not a faith proposition that says, well, I think he's in there. By faith, I take him there. That's not true. He is there. And faith gets him there. It's a literal, real experience. Now, it's so real, as Brother Branham said, can a woman have a baby and not know it? Certainly not unless she's comatose or under some type of anesthesia. But he said the actual baptism with the Holy Ghost is without sensation and any evidence whatsoever.
And the evidence, therefore, comes later down the line. As Brother Branham said, what were you before? What are you now? See? And remember, when you talk of impregnation, that's what you're talking about by the rebirth. And impregnation is simply one cell on another until a child is produced. And that bringing one to the maximum growth that can be at that time so the child can take a status it didn't have before. Now, that's where you find 2 Peter, the first chapter, where you're piling virtue upon virtue, and you are not doing it. The Holy Ghost is doing it in you until you come to that place where Brother Branham said you're ordained to be a living, moving statue for Almighty God to live in and dwell in. Now, here's what he says here. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, which he certainly does. And you being rooted and grounded in the love of God, certainly, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that's an utter impossibility until this hour. Because the power released upon us to bring forth the dead, which causes a transformation, was not released at any other time. Now it was to bring forth the dead, but not to bring forth immortality. This here literally is Ephesians 1 and 17, if you want to look at it. Now, in all the fullness of God, because that's what he talks about. Now, keep with me. I hope your minds are alert, because what I'm preaching is life and death, the same as Brother Branham preached it. And I'm a little fearful at times with some going on. And I see and I believe there's some of you going on beautifully. I'm a little worried about some others, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I just want you to be alert. And know that we are not fooling, because these things open up to us. Now, he that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is at work within us. That's not really right, although it is right. The literal translation, which is really, really right, is unto him who, in the exercise of his power, that is at work within us. Now, there you see again the church in subjection. See, under the influence of the Holy Ghost, knowing the things of God. And brother, I believe that sometimes we know the things of God, and we don't back away from them. Now, I speak with fervor there, because I'm thinking of something which doesn't have anything much to do with you, but it does, because I base my faith in certain things, and I just believe, that's all. I just believe, and from that standpoint, I talk. Now, Brother Branham says here, with the Holy Ghost standing there, there's nothing in the way. Every one of the other channels is cleared out. In other words, we can exercise our senses unto godliness. And everything then can be an adjunct or be an impetus to us rather than a detraction and a put down. Now, he said, just like an old boiler with flue stopped up. Now, that's what you worry before the Holy Ghost. You put a fire in it and it'll blow up. It'll blow your furnace plumb up. That's what's the matter with so many so-called Christians, because they don't clean the channels out. Or even so many Christians, they don't clean the channels up. They don't go down the inside. Of course, you're a Christian if you're not even born again. Let's face it, what else are you? Not a true court Christian, but you're a Christian. Not Brian, anyway. You've got to clean it. Conscience, memory, thoughts, laying aside everything and coming from the inside out with that unadulterated word of God. That's the truth. No matter 10,000 died on this side today, trusting 10 on that side tomorrow, that has nothing to do with me. I'm the individual. I'm the one that's trusting. I'm the one that believes it. Now, speaking here of an individual baptism with the Holy Ghost, what will happen? It'll begin to give you the power of faith, and that word begins to open up to you. And we see back yonder, if we want to open up our channels, then if we can and see. In other words, we can stop where the 11th chapter of Hebrews said, we've got perfection coming to us. They without us cannot be made perfect. And then it goes on, the 12th chapter, right on there, and it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And it says, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us go on. So that's what you're looking at here. He says here, if we can see, we find this one and that one. And thousands are testifying, but the devil will try to come right back. Now he says here, all through the Old Testament, there were witnesses and witnesses and witnesses and witnesses and witnesses. There's a testimony to reality. But the devil will never stop working on you through your senses. No matter how real that you know reality is, you will still have a problem. So, he says, if he could get in there at all, he's got your army routed. That's the devil. Now, it doesn't say the word if in there, if you've got your senses. I believe he really means sense. since you got your senses. Well, if you haven't got senses, you're a zombie. There's nobody who doesn't have senses. There's nobody who doesn't have these things. See, taste, feel, smell, hear, they're all right. See, so that's what he's saying. But don't trust them unless they agree with the word. See, they're all right. But if they disagree with the word, don't you listen to them. Now, imagination. Here's where we left off. Imagination, conscience, memories, reasoning, affections. They're all right if they agree with the word. But if your affection doesn't agree with the word, get rid of it. You blow the flue right quick. Now, the word affection there is a little lesser word than the word love, but it's a good word just the same because it has to do with love. See, if your reason disagrees with the word, get away from it or get it away from you. That's right. If your memory, imagination, conscience, anything disagree with that, what's on the inside, get rid of it. All right. Now, what he's saying here is, to my estimation, this. Senses, though of God, are not in themselves spiritual and discerners nor receptors of spiritual things. So they must never be credited or used as though they had any input to our faith. No way, shape, and form. Romans, the 7th chapter, part of verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. That's in my flesh. Look at John 6 and 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak in the air, spirit and the air, life. Doesn't have one thing to do with the flesh. This is an intrusion by God. This is not something that you and I have naturally. This is God intruding and taking over. Let's go to Colossians. Hopefully I've got this written down, right? 2:18-23. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. What am I supposed to do? Listen to the man that's got the real McCoy, like the prophet. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increase with the increase of God. Now he's telling you here church order according to Ephesians. The Holy Spirit came down and blessed the church with ministries. Who is it that absolutely brings the word of God? The prophet. Who sets the church in order? The apostle. Of course, he can't do it outside the prophet. Who is it that does the pastoring? But these fellows here, they got puffed up. Oh, have you got puffed up today? Why is Joe Coleman Michael the Archangel? Goofball at the flat top or something. He's letting you know here. Watch where it comes from. And don't think you got something if you don't have something. You know, humility is the greatest thing in the world. I got enough smarts to shoot my mouth any day of the week. I don't do it. I went to the prophet and gave me everything I had. Laid at all his feet. That's where anything I've got comes right today, brother, sister. It takes a lot from the pulpit on down for people to recognize where they are and what their input is if they got any. The greatest input I had toward William Branham's ministry was faith that he was the anointed of Almighty God. And that's growing and growing and growing. That's the way it's going to go. From now, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, taste not, touch not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom, in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So you can see right here what we're talking about. It's an input from Almighty God. Now, the things that we have in our nature, in our bodies, they were given to us to use, but not in this respect. And remember, in the Garden of Eden, the physical use of Eve's body absolutely brought her down where she destroyed everything. She gave into it. Never should have done it. Now, of course, she gave in. We know what she gave into. But you and I can give into the same thing with our eyes and our touch and our taste or anything else. And Paul said right here, here's the thing you've got to watch concerning yourself. Because you don't have an input. And you're not in the category of where the input is. What kind of a church would we have here if we had what I'm talking about tonight? providing I was an asset in being right with God and with the prophet, what God gave. What would he have? A tremendous church. But I don't know how humble you are. Now look, I don't beat you over the head. I don't split your families. I warn you, don't you dare split a family. Now walk apart. I don't ask you about anything else. I'm with you tonight, looking for the millennium and the great holy city, New Jersey. Standing right with the prophet before the white throne. Knowing this is a sacred hour, brother, sister. The clock's running out. Okay. All right, we're looking at these things. Now let's read Romans 8. See what we're talking about here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Just leave the rest of verse to down below. For why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's sin working in the flesh and through the flesh for the gratification, for the input. Now, what's the great input of Satan? Pride. That's what he had all three, by reason of pride, blew the whole thing. Eve got puffed up the same way in Adam, the whole bunch. Now, for what the law could not do, and there was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now here were two innocent people, fresh from the hand of God, knowing the Garden of Eden, knowing the power of God, knowing communications. Adam knew when he was in spirit form, like the Holy Spirit ruling over the land, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, flowers, everything else. Communicating with God through God. What was it that brought the downfall? Flesh. Yes, now there's the input, there's the danger. See? Now what did God do? What the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. In other words, now, he said, don't you touch it. In other words, there was the understanding of don't give way to the sensual. And that word sensual doesn't simply mean sex, it means senses. Not a bad word. It's only been degraded. Now, they gave into it. We are way ahead of them. See, at this hour. And they were in the Garden of Eden. God's government upon earth. The kingdom of God in the midst of you. Do you follow what I'm saying now? Luke 17. Christ was that one. He, God manifest in flesh, instituted again literally an Edenic situation except for one thing. It wasn't time for immortality. This time it is. So now we're here. We are way ahead of what Adam was. As the garden was defiled, and he still could have reached forth and touched immortality, the tree of life, and he couldn't do it, we have that privilege, my brother, sister. Therefore, we are a billion miles ahead of what they were there. Don't ever attempt to just get back to Eden. I want immortality. We are back to Eden now, and it doesn't suffice. It's not enough because of the fallen state. The Bible does not point us to Eden. The Bible points us beyond Eden to the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. All right. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now let's watch what the Bible says about this. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're not after flesh anymore. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We don't have enough of that yet. You know why? Because we don't believe enough. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is the enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But there is a mind which is not carnal. See? For you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. No, so they So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, on one condition, if God's Spirit dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit him that raised up Jesus did dwell in you. He that raised up Christ in it shall also quicken your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, these we could go on and on. We won't bother. But you can see what we're looking at. Now, learning concerning this, what we're talking about is not enough. It's like Brother Branham said, we must apply the token, so we must apply this also. We must believe exactly who and what we are in Christ, and then set our hearts in that direction so that the channels open now by God will begin to flow in reverse, whereby we're mightier overcomers in Christ Jesus our Lord. I got a thought over here, I think, in 1 Corinthians 9. I hope. Yeah, 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. And now that's a gift of the Holy Ghost too, temperance. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. Now that's what Paul says right here, that the Holy Ghost were able to do this. We know the battle, we know where we're joined in, and we're working on it. Now notice, but I keep under my body. Now he doesn't keep his body under, he keeps under his body, like the old the old airplane whirl in the wrestling ring. Grab one guy and put him above his head and whirl him around and just chuck him. That's what Paul says. He doesn't get on his body and try to pin it down and hold it there, but he picks his body up and just in other words, the Spirit is in control. I keep my body under my body, keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway. Now, there's a danger here. No matter if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, and these channels are free, there's still the danger that people will not realize that the great satisfaction, I say the great satisfaction of life, is to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. You can't get people to do that. No, they won't do it. But a real Christian will, and this is the hour to see it done. Now, he says here, now imagination, conscience, memory, reasonings, affections, they're all right, if they agree with the word. But if your affection doesn't agree with the word, get rid of it. First of all, we'll go to Mark 9, 43 to 50, and we'll read that, and just see something here about getting rid of these things. 43 to 50. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now that tells you simply doing the things you shouldn't do. A lot of people do things they shouldn't do, and they know it. And they think, well, this is a shortcut. People are doing it. I can get away with it. Because the hand represents what you do. But remember, Christ's hands were crucified upon the cross, the same as the thief was. And they couldn't do. So now, you just got to quit those things. And if that foot offend thee, cut it off. In other words, don't let your feet carry where they shouldn't be going. Like Brother Branham later on tells about this young girl that got converted and went to the dance hall. And the devil took hold of her. He had to cast it out. We'll get to that later. Sometime later. Cut it off. It's better to enter into life having 2 feet to be than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if the eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better thee to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes than to be cast into hellfire. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And everyone should be salted with salt, and every sacrifice salted with salt. Salt is good, but if salt loses salt, is worse. Will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. So what you're looking at here is the fact that many people want to go places and do things that they have no business entering into. And the Bible says, cut it off because you're looking at higher stakes than just a gratification or a self-will or an indulgence. You're looking at something that forms a blueprint in your life, and you'll be judged. And the white throne judgment, of course, posit not the white throne, but the mercy seat, the judgment seat of Christ, is where positively the deeds of everyone, it might be the white throne at that or part of it, where all the deeds are brought into manifestation. And those people that have not lived victoriously will not get the rewards that they could have had. And that's the thing right there to look at. In other words, cast not away your recompense or reward. There's suffering and trials involved here, but do not go the way of the senses. And remember, that's the route that was taken by Adam and Eve in the beginning. So it holds good all the way through Scripture. Watch it very, very carefully. Now let's go into Mark 16. I beg your pardon, Luke 16. And we're going to look at this rich man in hell again. And he lifted up his eyes being in torment, and he wanted certain things done. And he said, send Lazarus here. And Lazarus, of course, couldn't come. And then he said, all right. He said, I tell you what, why don't you send this some him to my father and to my brethren, because I would like to see them helped. Now, you notice in there that Jesus answered and said, here, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, if one went from the dead, they will repent. And he said, no way. Now, what you're looking at here is this, that this man had affection. He had reasoning. He had a lot of things that you could say, well, hey, that fellow's not a bad egg. He's doing everything in his power to try to get those people help. No siree, he's not. Because he left the Word of God alone. He talks about God. He talks about this. He talks about that. He wants all kinds of things done. But the Word is missing. He didn't take Moses and the prophets. And that's what's wrong at this hour. And that's what we're looking at in this sermon tonight. The same as we've always looked. You've got to start with the Word of the prophet. And you've got to be imbued with it. 100% sold on it. It's got to be your conversation. It's got to be your thinking. It's got to be everything. That's what the Bible says. You put it before your eyes. Make a little thing up here. Go bang, bang, bang on your forehead. Remind you of the Word. You put it in your ears. Bang, bang, bang. Every time you move, remind you of the Word. Little bells upon the feet. Anything. Remind you of the Word. How many folk criticize this Word? Try to get around it. See, we'll talk about that too. Now, remember, when we act on our own, the input will be of the devil. And we read the scripture over here many, many times. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul is teaching. And he says here, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have problems with the flesh, but it simply means you can't use the flesh to fight. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and just standing ready to use that word to correct it. Now, there's your picture. There's your picture. And I want to ask you a question. How many do's and don'ts did Brother Branham ever tell us? Very, very few. As a holiness preacher, he sure wasn't my pick of holiness preachers. Why, we had guys that couldn't, why, man alive, one look out of the corner of your eye and you're going plump to hell with bells on. Of course, he committed adultery while anybody else could. That condemn. That's legalism. that stuff. Now, he said, if your memory imaginations or anything disagrees with the Word of God, or what's on the inside here, and what's on the inside? God and His Word. God in His Word. Like Brother Brandon said, where is God in His Word? Priest said it's in the church. He said, hogwash. It's in the Word. Now we get rid of it. How? By conversion. And conversion is a daily thing. Repentance. See? Many I love, I rebuke. Now, again, you're looking at this thing here. You're looking at everything Brother Branham brought concerning his ministry, even the creation of squirrels, which we didn't see. And not us. We're not in the category, I'm sure. But so many people invariably always try to reason things out. Now, they all want some kind of evidence. They want something, you know, that they figure they're going to put your fingers on. What is this here? We're here in John 20. When Thomas said, if I can just reach forth my hand and touch and I'll believe. And Jesus came right and said, okay, Thomas, just reach forth your hand and touch. Thrust it in my side. There's a hole there. Find out for yourself. Reach right inside my body. And I suppose Simon did it. And Jesus said, Simon, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Now, Brother Branham came on the scene and told us about those squirrels. That's a difficult thing to take, but it's true because the creator word of God must come at the end time. We just got to keep working to see. How many people believe the fact that I saw that microphone cord wrapped around him two times at least and just suddenly stood, was right by him? Now, you see, they're going to say, well, you blinked, you did this, you did that. See, try to explain everything. You can't explain anything. What you do is believe it. See, believing is what we're interested in because that's where the word comes in, because any time the word comes in, it's predicated upon faith. And faith is the ability, the coin of the realm, the legal tender that gets you what you want. Or simply stated, faith is the ability to receive. And unless a man is receiving, he's not having faith. He's just kidding himself. Yeah. Now, I know faith takes a battle sometime before it brings forth something. But people just won't be talking. They'll be getting answers. See? What do you got then? Brother Branham said, when you get to this place where the Word is on the inside, the Holy Spirit's there, filling that Word up and the Word filling the Holy Spirit up and moving through you every channel now in reverse. Not something coming in, but it's buffered from coming in. The man is embattled, but he's not beleaguered. He just keeps moving and said, listen, I'm fully armored, and I'll just take your head off, like David said. But this old giant out there with all the armaments on, great big old gassed-up Sherman tank, about 14 feet tall, finger spread 15 inches across, he come lumbering down there. There's, who's that oxen coming down there? Well, he said, I killed a bear. He said, I'll get this ox out of it. He ain't nothing. He said, I killed a lion. What's this jerk doing anyway? This heathen priesthood. And he was buttressed with something that fella didn't have. And what was it? This fella had weapons of contact. David had a weapon, a missile. Original first missile in the Bible, where'd it go? The explosive right arm of David just furled and just wham, got him right between the eyeballs. That took care of Goliath. Man, he must have hit that word with a hump. So good, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Yeah. What do you got, Brother Brand says? You got a solar system. Hallelujah. God set the stars in order and said, hang there till I call you. They stay there. Nothing's going to move them. When God, now here he's talking about himself. When God can get a man in his hands till he can get senses. Conscious. In other words, what consciousness, I think he means consciousness of things, what appears to him. Everything cleaned out so that it stands with God behind it in the spirit. There's not a devil in the world can poke a doubt in there. That's right. Now, that's what the shout has got to do for you and me, based on Brother Branham. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. You know, 1 Thessalonians follows 1 Thessalonians 4. The fifth chapter does. And the fifth chapter is falling right on the fact of the appearing. He said, brethren, the times and seasons, you need not aright. You know perfectly well the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety comes, sudden destruction might travail upon it with a child, they shall not escape from a child. But ye are not in the darkness, that he overtake you. And then he says, we're not appointed to wrath. Right down the line. Then he says, in verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time. That's why you can stand right there, in every single meeting, take every spirit under control. Well, I know people say, well, Brother Vail, I think that was just some little clicker like on a shutter on a camera. Don't you kid yourself. He stood there positively knowing. And I believe, brother, sister, you can have a trickle down in this till you have a five-fold ministry at the last day. That's absolutely a five-fold ministry. It might be made more than a hand. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be. I hope I'm one. Can't prove that I am. I believe I am. That's all I can say. They'll have that. They'll know. They're speaking the truth. What's going on? If he comes around and says, you don't know, bring this down to our level now on healing. If he comes around and says, you don't feel any better, and your conscience has even gone to that, and your consciousness of those things has gone. See? In other words, you give it no credibility in your confrontation. Because let every man's word be a lie, but God's be true. The flue is so clear, it shouts hallelujah. In other words, the channel is so clear. The channel blows a whistle, glory to God. It sounds out just as clean and clear for the Word of God to work through the power of God's seed. In other words, we're one with that Word. Now, evidently, this man here we're talking about, Brother Branham, is one who dies daily and actually moment by moment. See? He's not like Matthew 13, 10 to 17. No. He's got more in the ball than that, more than the parables. All right. 13. 10. And our disciples came and said, why speak thou in parables? And he said, because it's given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath him should be given, and he shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath not, from him should be taken that which he hath. Now, how are you going to know the scriptures without the Holy Ghost? So it tells you here, when you start with the Holy Ghost, more is going to be added to you. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither understand. But in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men are desired to see those things which you see, that's us, and have not seen them, and to hear those things that you hear, seven seals, and have not heard them. See, there's no parables to you and me. The seven seals are open. The word of God's been made clear. It's only the obfuscation of preachers and people that think you're in a fivefold ministry that mess things up for people. That's pure and simple. That's the truth. Now, you get a person here, there will be the bride under this condition, as Brother Branham was, but we will not have the status he had. No way, shape, and form. See? Those channels are clear. It just sounds the praise of God. And it sounds just as clean and clear for the Word of God to work through the power of God's seed. That's the main thing. There's your battleground. Your battleground is back here at the beginning, back in the soul, back in your mind. That opens up. The mind is the gate to the spirit and to the soul also eventually. Your mind opens up and accepts the spirit or rejects the spirit. In other words, Brother Branham puts this all right down to the beginning as the one in the Garden of Eden. The appeal to the mind. Many people talk about the appeal to the heart. The appeal to the heart has to come by the appeal to the mind, because the word of salvation is a preached word. Which word is preached? Through the sensibilities of the man. In other words, the man has a power of speech, which comes after the power of thinking. The thinking is anointed of God, therefore the word is anointed of God. That goes to the man and brings the man in. Now you can see here that there'll be very few that come this far. Now, he says here, your mind opens up and accepts the spirit or rejects it. Oh well, I don't know if I got it here or not. Might not have brought that definition with me. Yeah, here in the Greek. The organ of the mind is the organ of mental perception and apprehension. The organ of conscious light. The organ of the conscious consciousness preceding the act. Or guiding and judging the fact. The organ of thinking and knowledge and understanding. The organ of moral thinking and contemplation. Now the last reference to the organ of thinking and knowledge strictly comes under the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Up here, that's against the Spirit of God. Mind takes cognizance of external objects and denotes the reasoning faculty. That's bad. His chief material organ is the brain. That's okay. That was given to God. But all the senses serve it actively or passively. See? But when you get the other side of mind, there's where God moves from the inside. Outside moves in to give you perception and knowledge. Also, it can trick you and give you judgment. See? It's no good. Gotta let the word be your judge. Now, you can have little consciences, or you can have output from all these channels, right to your spirit. Little feelings, sensations, and all these things. That has nothing to do with it. They are just sensations and things. In other words, transitory, temporary. But when it comes to reality, that's permanent. Your mind opens up to it. Now, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Unto the angel or the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, in there in actual translation is the reality. The reality. Thus saith the reality. Now he tells you here that your mind opens up to reality. Your mind opens up to Christ. How many minds open up to that picture on the wall? How many believe that is true? The cloud in Arizona. Not very many. And many who do have it as a form of an idol. They don't have a reality. Talking about these things as though they were so, then denying an infallible word from an infallible man of God, Amen. Who in the office of a prophet was infallible, but as a human being, he was as fallible as you and me. Which goes to show how the mind can be under the control of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely under the power of the Holy Ghost, till even the tongue talks what is not in the mind normally. Now see, it's your mind that opens up the door, closes the door, and listens to your conscience, to your memory, to your affections. But when your mind closes itself to these things, and let God, the Spirit of His Word, come in, it blows the rest of the stuff out. Every doubt is gone. Every fear is gone. Now, Brother Branham said he didn't know the meaning of fear after the stopping of the great blizzard in Colorado. No fear after the meeting of Christ in Arizona. Every sensation is gone. Every feeling is gone. Every feeling is gone. That's what he said. How do you feel? I got no feelings about it. Say, how'd that little baby feel in that well? I haven't got the slightest idea. I wasn't down there. But your mind will start to say, well, I think it could be this. I think it could be that. Oh, we got big fat heads and big fat mouths. Skinny spiritual minds. Cruddy big fat human minds. What a pity. Isn't it funny to have a real thin mind in one spot and have a big fat mind and at the same time? Sure, because it's got two sides of it. Too much feeding the carnal. There's nothing standing there but the Word of God, and Satan can't battle against that. Satan cannot attack a mind that's already full of the Word of God. As Brother Branham said, when you become pregnant with the Word of God, then nothing else can make you pregnant. Well, how pregnant are we with the Word of God? Depends on how full of growth the mind is, because it takes a period of gestation. So, the prophet is saying here, essentially, to put the memory laden with experiences away from us. Brother Branham did it, and he said we can do it too. In other words, we can make our minds work for us, the same as William Branham did in the Apostle Paul. Let's go to Philippians, the 3rd chapter. Begin to see that. Now, we're trying to work a pattern out here for you, and I hope it begins to become alive to you. And that is, the great thing is to get this word in there, first of all, what the prophet taught. Word, word, word. The doctrine, the doctrine, the doctrine. Know exactly what it is about. See? Now, Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If any means I might attain to the out resurrection from among the dead, and that's for today. Not as though I'd already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, what does he do? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, that means immediately behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling to God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a battle of the mind. So what does Paul put behind him? Every single thing he knew from Judaism and everything that he was. And he said, I count it but dung. So I've turned my back on. What does he say here? What things were gained to me? Those I counted lost for Christ. His great theological seminary training. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. How do you get it? But by the Word. You don't get that by a feeling. Oh, hallelujah, love the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, feel great. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, shut up. And listen. What do you know about God, period? nothing except it's been taught us by revelation from somebody who knows what he's got. And we only take it if there's any vindication there, or we're a bunch of fools. It's got to work. Now you want the excellent knowledge of Christ, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may gain Christ, win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, not my own faith, but the faith of Christ, not faith in Christ, faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now he tells you that. Now we are standing in the same place he's standing. Okay, with that, let's go to 2 Peter. Brother Branham is speaking of the virtues. And he tells you how they're built up by the Holy Ghost in us until the crowning is God himself taking over. Now, Peter speaks in the 10th verse. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. Keep in your mind these things. Though you know them, work on them. Keep them there. Talk them. So you'll be established in the present truth, or the truth that is open before you in your hour. What is the truth open day? Seven seals. The thunders. Malachi 4. Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Revelation 22, 10 to 22. Right down the line. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, Ephesians 1:17-23, scripture after scripture. That's what you're looking at. You must understand it. Now, then with that, we can understand again Romans, the 5th chapter. Therefore, I am being justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom you have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. What do you mean access into this faith? What do you know about it? The only thing you know about is what you're taught. And what you know to be vindicated. Now, notice, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in the promise of the hour set before you. And not only so, we rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works endurance. Endurance or experience. And what is it? What does a patient do? It works character. Then hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. In other words, it's a continuing, ongoing cycle with this message. Why do you think Brother Branham preached the hundreds of sermons who have preached him tonight and bring them all to your attention? The prophet, the ministry, the vindication, the word of God. Here it is. Why? Because he hopes somebody. I don't know if anybody on that, any of us sat there and got it. Tell me the Colemans and Hunts sat there and got it when they blew the kind of junk he preaches today. But the rest of them preached the hogwash. I'm going to tell you flat, I wasn't getting it. But I knew something had to be given to us from God or nobody would make it. That much I did catch. How are you going to have spirals and plateaus? Because you're piling word upon word. Now, word upon word's like a bonfire. He said, I wish you're either hot or cold. He said, you're lukewarm and I want to puke over the whole bunch of it. You make me nauseous, sick and tired. He said, be an iceberg or be a volcano. How many of you have got lava guts? Not enough of us. You prayed tiddlywink to watch this message. How much fire these guys got to go around picking on it and saying the prophet made a mistake here? They'd no more believe what the prophet told me than nothing. So he's even talking. Amen. They ain't going to believe nothing. Haven't got a clue. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4th chapter. That's a great chapter. 8-11. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed but not in despair. That's the mind. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, dying the Lord Jesus Christ, also in the mind. That the life of Jesus also may be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of also Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So on. Now he said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, I believe and therefore I've spoken. You also believe, and we also believe, or you believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he was raised up, the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. That's for this hour. We believe what the prophet said, we talk it. We know this Christ was raised from the dead. He's present amongst us. Doing the works that he did in the flesh, proving who it is. And because of that, God will raise us up and present us. We'll all come into the presentation. This is presentation, brother, sister, not back in the first church age. This is this age. The Bible's written for this hour. Put Brother Branham talking, just not Paul.
Yeah.
Brother Branham tells you right here, we have this treasure in earth and vessel. The exceeding power may be of God and not of us. Verse 7. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body. Knowing we're ready for the presentation. I said, verse 15, for all things are for your sake, said Brother Branham. The abundant grace might through the hands of thanksgiving of God redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. The outer man perished, and he actually died. The inner man being renewed day by day. God even gave him a photograph of that. William Branham talking here, not Paul. That's the Holy Ghost. Paul said, you've been taught by Jesus Christ, not by a man. Our light afflictions are but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, the senses, the conscience, all that junk from memory, but the things that are not seen. What don't we see yet? Him in full manifestation in glory. But we're going to see it.
Amen.
Because the shout is on. The voice is next. Then comes the trumpet. And the reincarnation. Crown him King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All these things are going to pass away. And the things that are seen are temporal. Look at him. Let me tell you something. That's not temporal. William Branham was. He died. That was temporal in so far. And that in so far. It disappeared. But it's still here. The healings. All the things gone. Temporal. Establishing the eternal. So, if we have any thoughts in our minds, we will major on the major and not on the minor. All right. These battles are raged since the day of the Garden of Eden, the battle in the human mind. That's Satan versus the message. God came down with a message. He said, this is this and that's that. The devil said, well, he said, I don't believe that. Boy, I don't think that's really true. Didn't he tell you to multiply and so on? Yeah, sure he did. Well, did he tell you exactly how it's done? You got everything right handy to do it. Go ahead and use it. There was nothing wrong with the fact they were going to use it later on. It was wrong with the fact that they got the instructions from the devil. They're still giving you instructions. I'm going to bring something to church and let you open your eyes and read it to you. From Colonel Dunner. Outstanding Christian colonel. And you quit going to McDonald's for your cup of coffee. You quit going to Sears Roebuck. You quit patronizing Procter & Gamble. And a whole bunch more. Because they put a film on to let the school kid know positively that homosexuality is just great. Nothing wrong at all. Even AIDS, don't worry about that. Why buy their stuff? Why go in there? Now Sears got a nice ad in the paper right now. You can get wool coats. Set a match to them, as far as I'm concerned. There goes my wife's silk stockings. What did she buy from them? No more. No more.
Amen.
Yeah, there's a petition on it, too. Everyone we should sign one. Send them in. Let them know. You bunch of antichrist heathen.
Amen.
They're trying to clean up Macon, Georgia, Emory College. Ha! Forget it. That bunch never cleaned up anything. They'll all die with AIDS, a whole bunch of them. You think it's not going to happen? You read your Bible. Eve never got pregnant eating fruit. When you get AIDS from sex, you listen. Oh, I know. 65-75% of the kids and the adults say, well, it's not going to happen to me. It's going to happen to you. Don't worry. You think Jessica Hahn got sick for afraid of getting AIDS by eating off of Liberace's plate? You gotta be naive. Really, she lied, she ever met him. What's this guy do? This message, everything. Everything. The prophet taught what was wrong in the garden, showed exactly what it was. We're not brainless. These battles have raged since the day of the Garden of Eden, the battle of the human mind. It's raging right now. Satan started it. What did he do when he met Eve? He didn't deny God's word, but he whitewashed it. He watered it down. He coated it. Dressed it up. Did what he wanted to do. He changed it. That's what he did. He stops up some little channels here somewhere, and he said, but surely God, reasoning now, surely God, all these things, he. Now, they've got this capitalized here, those the Holy Spirit. I don't think it is. And now he said, all these things that he promised. He, Satan, knew the word was right, but he knew. He just couldn't come out and blast it. Blurry like that. So he sugarcoated. In other words, he denied the penalty. Now, brother, sister, we are back in the Garden of Eden today in a position in this mind age, like paragraph 2, which we just read. We've come right back here where your mind accepts or rejects. It's your mind opens the door or closes the door. Or listen to your conscience, your memory, listen to your affections. When your mind, under any condition, closes itself to this word of God and goes for sensations or anything else, you've lost your battle, you're finished. Now, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. Because there can't be any transformation according to Romans 12, which is the transforming of the, by the renewing of the mind. And in 2 Corinthians 3:15, the same thing, you've got to get that veil taken where the Spirit of God works. But it's all here for the doing of it. But we are in a position now, because we are in the mind age, for the eye age has just passed. The eagle, the soaring eagle, the eagle age. The eye age. Prophet age. Now you're in the mind age. What's your mind doing tonight? See? Now the Satan doesn't just blurry like that. He's going to come and try to mess it up. See? Now, preachers are like Satan. They call Brother Branham a prophet, and then they deny it. Shows their mind hasn't taken anything in. Okay, here's some more. Like Mama used to do to get us to take medicine, she'd try to put orange juice in the castor oil in the orange juice. I'd rather take the castor oil without the orange juice. Too hypocritical. We used to get up at nighttime. She'd give us coal oil for croup. She'd put the coal oil on a lump of sugar. See, kind of hypocritical. It'd just burn your tonsils out nearly going down after the sugar left you. Well, it's just, you know, they did that things. Well, that's the way it is, friends. Satan tries to be hypocritical about it. He's the deceiver. See, the angel of light. He tries to show you something better, an easier way, a more sensible plan. But there is no more sensible plan than that which God laid down at the beginning, his word. Hold to that word. Get a grip on it. Let it get a grip on you. Stay there with it until it does get a grip on you. That's the thing. That's the secret. This is just like the power of confession in Proverbs 18, 20 to 21. So let's read it. This is one of my favorites. It's the truth. I would to God we practice it daily. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love us shall eat the fruit thereof. It tells you right here, exactly. What comes out of your mouth goes into your ears, goes down into your belly, comes out through your mouth, and this time larger. The old fish story. Well, you know the fish was this long. First time round. He hears it. It was this long, really. He hears it. It went, that's good. It comes out this long. It goes in. Comes down this long. Pretty soon it's 3 feet long. The old fish story. This actually happens, brother, sister. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Either we love life or we love death. Death is in the word we have left. Then leave it. Life is in the word which we have taken. Brother Branham says nothing but this word will come. Nothing outside this word will come to life. So therefore, the constant talking and the constant hearing enlarges it and enlarges it. And so has his sermons and so are the sermons in this pulpit. I start every one of these sermons not knowing where I'm going and how I'm going to see this thing work out. I can no more sit here in your presence before I hit this pulpit. This thing comes to life and I know it's the same wonderful, glorious story. One God, one word. Amen. Hallelujah. One people in Christ. And that's how the church will grow. It's not going to grow how you think. I've tried to show you for years. I'm not yelling to be mad at you. I'm just trying to tell you, get my point, and so you never raise your hand to your heel and never go off on a tangent. If you do, it's your tough luck. This word is the conduit to the Holy Ghost of God Himself. That's what you need. If you haven't got the proper mechanics, you'll never get the dynamics. And if you shun the mechanics, you're done. Don't try to guess a prophet, and don't try to guess anyone in the fivefold ministry. You start doing that, you have your problems. I tried this. Many times I've tried to second guess Brother Branham. Doesn't work. You got to humble yourself. Get down and know he's telling the truth. You got to know this works here. See? Now this is how it works. This is exactly what it says in Philippians 3:12 that I read to you. See? It is the channel system Brother Branham speaks of. Now let's go back to all the way to the book of Revelation. The third chapter in the seventh church age. And it tells us, 19-21, as many as I love, I chasten, rebuke, and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Then what will the rebuke be? Where the people are wrong in their theology. Where they're off the word. Christ didn't have to come and tell Israel where they're wrong morally. They knew it. The Bible says their conscience bears them witness. Anybody knows that. Even heathen know what's right. And heathen got far better morals than you and I got in many cases. Now, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, know the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. What does that mean? Just sit down and have something to eat? No, that's the place where you refresh yourself by conversation. This is the Christian true social drink. Drinking the wine of revelation. Of the word of Almighty God. To him that overcometh. Overcomes what? Overcomes his thrust against correction. Listen. What's this age all about? Reality comes on the scene. The Amen, who is the Alpha, comes on the scene. This is the Omega period. I know your works. You're lukewarm. I wish you were red hot. If that not, then be ice cold, but get off the fence. Now, because you say, here's this lukewarm bunch of birds. I'm increased with goods. Need of nothing. You don't know. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I count you to come to me. To get the gold tried in the fire. To get the real faith. You may be rich. The white raiment. You got dirty stuff right now. Eye salve that you haven't got, come and get it. Which is broken cracker crumbs. Broken bread of Almighty God. The true body. Discerning the true body broken was the word. They're doing the same thing right today. We're living on it, growing on it, see? Now, that's what we're looking at. And remember, this word is a sword. It cuts. So we don't try to make it hypocritical. Now, if somebody comes in or doesn't understand the message, and that's really tough for my kind of preaching. You know, the thought is we get a new church and a lot of people are going to come and see what's in the new church. They ain't going to stay long. Except for Stan coming to do some preaching that's different than mine. You saw the what they come, a few coming, they're going to go. The women can't stand it, the men can't stand it. Well, they say, I think maybe the fellow's got something, but we don't want it. Sure, they don't think they got what's real. Listen, the word of God is a sword and it cuts. There's no such thing as trying to dress the thing up. There's no such thing as trying to make it pretty. The word of God, the way the prophet brought it, is the word of God, period. And to change it, it is no longer the word of God. And to preach it without a thrust is no longer the spirit of God. Just no good. You can't have it that way. And it says stay with it until it gets a grip on you. Now, that's what happened to Brother Branham. He stayed with what God gave him until one day in his grip was a sword. He had a grip on it. And the voice says, this is a sword of the king. He said, there's only one the king, and that's God. There's only one sword, that's the word. And that word had become a part of him. The Bible said, cursed is a sword that doesn't draw blood. They couldn't stand it. Oh, how the women hated him. Oh, that serpent was that. When the serpent had intercourse with Eve, that's what really got him down. They thought it was a great big four-footed elephant or something. Not knowing the same slimy snakes that think they're men crawl in bed with them at a drop of a hat and they think it's great. Jessica Hahn. Tammy Faye. And all the rest. Oral's 900-foot statue. $9 million ransom.
God have mercy. Stay with it, he said. How much time? One paragraph. The battle raged when Eve opened up her mind to listen to her reasoning. That's the fluid came in. That's the channel. That's the channel that ran down her reasoning. She and her spirit, she listened. In her soul, right down, she listened. She took that word. Her eyes with sight, she saw the serpent. He was beautiful, handsome, far better than her own husband. He said, that's been saying that thing for years. He was most subtle of all the beasts of the field. Wasn't a man at all. He was probably a fairer man than her husband. He looked like a great masculine beast standing there. How great he was. He was trying to tell her what a great thing it was. And the first thing, she opened up her mind. And when she did, human reasoning caught it. Why? Wouldn't that be a thrill? That's where thinking was. She reasoned or interpreted or decided from her senses as being allowed of God and favorable to her. So that's what she did. She went for it. See? Let's take a look at Revelation, the 17th chapter. The whore. Verse 5, and upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, the Abomination of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Great admiration. She was really something to marvel at. And the angel said, why did you marvel? I'll tell the mystery of the woman, the beast that carries her. This is a great ecumenical move today. The little woman, the church, looks at it. And forget sincerely the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestants, all going to be in one big mess, are guilty of the blood from Abel right down to the last person. Oh, it's so nice and wonderful. Look how the Catholic Church accommodating itself now. But it still stands there and says, we are the Catholic Church, and we don't change certain things, and they won't ever, don't you ever think they will. But the rest will come knuckling under when they have to tighten their belts. We got a little stock market jitter now. I don't think it's going to amount to much. It could be. Who knows? Ellie had a little jitter out there. It's not the big thing yet. Nah. One day the bouncing around will bring the big thing on, though. She'll bounce around. Don't worry. She started it. Sure. That's the way it is that this great ecumenical society looks good. Looks great. Doctors police themselves. So that means any doctor commits murder. She's fine and dandy. Lawyers police themselves. And now they get mad at the doctors. They want more money. Now they're mad at each other. Now, the preacher and the priest themselves. I'm out of business as soon as they priest themselves. Say, Vail, you're no Trinitarian. That's right, I'm no Trinitarian. Out! Always was that way, trying to tell me. But I've been out all these years. What are you guys trying to tell me? I've done walked away from you and the devil years ago. Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing he does to women today. Some woman with a lovely little husband finds some great big masculine man. He's illustrating now, see? How this works. This man will try up to open up the reasonings. Remember, that's Satan, that's the devil. Or vice versa, man to woman, woman to man, either way. What does he do? Working that reasoning power, consciences, or the feelings and those things. Something begins to move. But give God's word first place. Never mind that. A man can't, now listen, here he says, here's his punchline here. A man can't even sin. Hallelujah, here it comes, this coming fresh. A man cannot sin until first he casts aside God's word. He can't even sin, that's disbelief, until first he gets rid of the word of God, the presence of God. He cannot sin. All right, brother, sister, what is that? Okay, let's see if we can get that finished. If not, we'll start there back in the next time. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Let's take a look at it. Now, verse 23, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ, as the wife is subject to her own husbands. Now, this is cast back and forth. I could just read about Christ. Christ also loved the church and gave himself, where he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present himself a glorious church, and having spot or wrinkle, any such thing to be holy without blemish. So ought men not to love their wives their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves his own, loves himself. For no man yet hates his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. Remembers his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this cause, for manly father and mother, joining one wife, they have become one flesh. This is a great mystery I speak concerning Christ and church. What we're trying to see here at this particular point is this, that the washing of the water by the word to present her the bride that she fell from being back in the time of Paul and the Corinthian age is here right at this moment here. It's exactly right. See? Now the presence of God is here. The word is here. Now, it says right here, a man cannot sin until he casts aside the word. Now, if we receive the word and stay with it and the presence of God imminent, which it is now being here, then we cannot sin. You can't go into disbelief. We can lose some of the great things that could be ours
because we're not practicing this strong enough. But if we would consider our strength, never mind the weakness, instead of consider the weakness like Abraham, consider strength, not weakness, we would get by a lot better. I'm going to close with Psalm 119. Maybe we'll have to go back into this again starting on Sunday, because it's a kind of a bad place to quit. But the time's run out. 119, and it's the 11th verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There it is right there, the keeper, the gate. The power of the Christ within the word. See, Eve could not sin until she laid aside God's word, opening up her channel to reason in her soul and began to reason. Why, certainly my husband never told me these things, but I believe you. He told me I shouldn't do this, but you know, you make it sound sweet, it's so plain. I believe it's wonderful because you make it so plain to me. There you're looking at the fact of reasoning power. What begins to happen, one little word, one little step down, and then it's all over. Satan has the wedge in there. That cannot happen to the bride. Cannot happen to the bride. Brother, sister, listen, the door is wide open for the Spirit of Christ to come into the church. With the gifts on the shelf, all the sensations, all the things out of the way, and the sick be healed amongst us, everyone. I have a vision for this church, whether it comes or not. That's up to us, not God. You say, why not God? Because I believe this. There has to be bride here, and I believe this church can qualify for receiving the word. And I believe, the prophet said categorically, the shelf, the gifts, as it were put on the shelf. And that sweet Spirit of Christ coming in, the sick would be healed. I believe that is our potential. I believe it is in our grasp. It is up to us, brother, sister, to take this message for life, not death, for life, for healing, for the resurrection, for the dead coming out of the ground, for our change, for a catching away, for the wedding supper, for everything. This is it. This is that seed. That conduit. Yes. And we are a passage also. You may believe what you want. I hope you agree with me. Because it just takes two to be agreed as concerning the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Let's stand and rise. Be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we ask you again now to go with us as we go. Lord God, may it be that these words are not dampened within our souls. So we are nervous people. We go here, we go there, we go to this, we do that. We have many things, oh God, we look at, and it's true, but they don't add to us, Lord. We know this word does. This word does not diminish us. Many people might think it does diminish. Take away this, take away that, but they're entirely fallacious. They're entirely wrong, Lord God. But they could be imbibing the great word of God. We pray, Lord, that people will never hold this word below anything else. It's more than a necessary meat. It's more than everything. To esteem your word more than necessary meat, it shows that we have something that is really real. God, I thank you that you allowed us to a degree to come this far, Lord. Now we want to go all the way. We know, Lord, that way is pleasant, that way is great, that way is wonderful. Your way, Lord, is the Garden of Eden. It goes beyond that. It's millennium in immortality. It goes beyond that is New Jerusalem with you up there, Lord, sitting on the throne, the pillar of fire. Oh, God, we cannot hardly wait for that, Lord, and yet we will. But we know it is within our grasp. We know it is here, Lord. We believe that, Father God. If we go to rest, we go there to the ground with others. We know we go with that hope we're going to come out of this ground. We're going to be standing here in that great day. Just means we see the prophet and those in the seven church age a little quicker than we do otherwise. But Lord, we'll see them eventually. All together and all those here. So Father, tonight we have this great hope of this word, this great light, this great word, O God, that you gave. We know what the prophet's trying to tell us. We know what he showed, what he had himself, Lord God, and he stood right there. And just like Christ went to the cross that time, we believe it's the same Spirit or not. We understand, Lord, the difference in the two. But even by that same Spirit that led Christ to the cross, where he could just give himself, the prophet knew he'd be delivered unto death. Smeared across the road, as it were. Make people get their eyes off him, perhaps. I don't know what it was all about. But I do know this, Lord. That man could stand right there and know he was going. Know he could face death in that tragic, particular manner. And, Lord, we know that we're facing life. And, Father, help us to face it with that same great, marvelous strength that comes out of that word, Lord. Help us to open our minds as never before, O God. For this is that mind age, Lord. We need it as never before, O God. We need it as never before. So let it be, Lord, in the saints as never before. Let it be as never before, Lord, in this great hour. Father, help us to this end. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
The name of Jesus with you.